Let's turn our attention to 1 Corinthians, Rabbi Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 11, starting with verse 1. Hope to make it through all 16 verses. The role of men and women in Messiah's community, covering or not covering the head. The subject of this message is controversial, the role of men and women in Messiah's community and how they are to conduct themselves. What are men allowed to do? What are women allowed to do? Is there anything women are not allowed to do? Must women cover their heads in a worship service? These are the issues the rabbi deals with in this part of his first letter to the community in Corinth. Paul is often criticized, and in my opinion, very unfairly, for his teaching about women. Before we are tempted to criticize the rabbi, keep in mind that he was one of the greatest human beings who has ever lived. He was a great rabbi. He was an outstanding evangelist. He was an author. He was an apostle, one of God's very special representatives. He was not just any apostle, but he was the apostle to the Gentiles. He was the one entrusted by God to reach the peoples other than the people of Israel and help them apply the truth about the Jewish Messiah to their cultures. The Lord used Paul in a powerful way to found communities in the Roman Empire. The Lord used Paul to write a good portion of the New Testament, which along with the Tanakh, the Hebrew Scriptures, is the greatest book ever written. The Lord used Paul to change the course of Western civilization and ultimately the course of the world. Be very careful when you criticize Paul. Paul was not narrow-minded. Paul was not biased against women. Paul was not a male chauvinist. Paul was not a misogynist. He did not hate women. Paul's writings were written under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. They are divinely inspired. They are accurate, they are faithful, they are true, they are reliable. They reflect the mind and will of God. Paul's writings are not to be dismissed if you don't like them or if they go against what the majority of our degenerate culture currently believes. I am going to interpret this section of Paul's letter on the roles of men and women and how they are to conduct themselves in the way that it would have been interpreted and understood by Messiah's community in Corinth in the first century when they received this letter. What it would have meant to them in their situation, how they would have understood it. And then, at the end, I am going to give my opinion on how we should relate to what he wrote today in our situation. First, the rabbi starts off by commending Messiah's followers in Corinth. When people are commended, they tend to be more receptive to the one who is doing the commending. They tend to be more receptive to the other things that the one who is doing the commending wants to say. Paul commends them for holding to the traditions that he passed on to them. I praise you for remembering me in everything and for holding to the traditions just as I pass them on to you. The Jewish people, we have many traditions. how we do things, when we do things, why we do things. Messiah's community also has traditions. The traditions that Paul is referring to here are the traditions that came from the apostles. Paul knew and practiced the traditions that came from the apostles. And he commends the Corinthians for being faithful to the traditions that he passed on to them, which were traditions from the apostles. The first tradition, the way men and women are to conduct themselves when the community assembles. The way they are to conduct themselves is determined by a God-ordained order of authority. But I want you to realize that the head of every man is Messiah, and the head of the woman is man, and the head of Messiah is God. Even though the Son of God is equal to the Father in nature, both share the same divine nature, God the Father is greater than God the Son in authority. God the Father has supreme authority. The Messiah is submitted to the superior authority of God the Father, even though they are equal in nature. Next in authority, in this divine authority structure, this order of authority, is the man. Even though the man shares Messiah's human nature, Messiah is our head. He is our superior. Men are under the authority of the Messiah. Next in God's authority structure are women. Women share the same nature as men. Men and women are equal in nature, just like the Father and the Son are equal in nature. And just like the Father and the Son are equal in nature, but the Father is superior in authority to the Messiah, men and women are equal in nature, but men are superior in authority to women. This is the God-designed order of authority. God the Father, then Messiah the Son, then men, then women. This God-ordained authority structure does not change over time. It does not change because of a changing culture. This order must be accepted. It must not be opposed. It must be reflected in the way we conduct ourselves when Messiah's community assembles for worship. The authority of the man and the Messiah, who is the head of the man, is to be acknowledged by the man not covering his head. The rabbi continues, "Every man who prays or prophesies with his head covered," referring to his physical head being covered, "dishonors his head," referring to his spiritual head, the Messiah. When a man prays or hears from God in a special way and gives a prophecy, his head is not to be covered. His uncovered head is a statement of his headship. It's also a statement that Messiah is his head, that he is submitted to the headship of Yeshua. In contrast to the man not covering his head, to acknowledge his headship and the headship of Messiah, the woman who does the very same things is to cover her head, to acknowledge that she is under the authority of her head, the man. But every woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered, referring to her physical head, dishonors her head, referring to the man who is her spiritual head. Notice that a woman is allowed to pray or prophesy. But later in this letter, Paul states that a woman is to be silent and not speak when the community is meeting and worshiping. How to reconcile a woman praying and prophesying and then also being silent and not speaking? The answer is that in the first century, a woman was allowed to pray when the community met. She was allowed to prophesy. She was allowed to speak, but not in the role of a teacher. Praying, prophesying, speaking, but not in the role of a teacher are not roles that are invested with authority, like that of a pastor or rabbi or teacher. And when a woman did these things, she was to cover her head, acknowledging that she was subject to the authority of the man. Paul reinforces his teaching that it is right for a woman to cover her head and wrong for her not to, with an analogy about having her head shaved or her hair cut off. It's the same as having her head shaved. For if a woman does not cover her head, she might as well have her hair cut off. But if it is a disgrace for a woman to have her hair cut off or her head shaved, then she should cover her head. God has graced the woman so that she is more beautiful than the man. Her hair is part of what makes her more beautiful. If she has her head shaved or if she cuts off her hair, she looks more like the man, which diminishes her beauty and her natural grace. Having her head shaved or having her hair cut off goes against God's natural order and is a disgrace. There is a connection between the physical and the spiritual. Just as it is disgraceful for a woman to uncover her head while praying or prophesying, it goes against the spiritual order. It disgraces her and her spiritual head. So the physical order and the spiritual order have a relationship. A woman is to cover her head to acknowledge her submission to the man. A man is not to cover his head to acknowledge his headship. The rabbi reinforces his teaching with truth from the Word of God, specifically from the creation of man and woman. A man ought not to cover his head, since he is the image and glory of God, but woman is the glory of man. In the Torah, Moses taught us that man was made in the image of God. He reflects what God is like. He reveals what God is like. Man is an amazing creature, the highest of the created order. He has God-like abilities to think, to reason, to speak, to choose, to will, to design, to order the world, to rule the other creatures, be creative, even reproduce other human beings made in the image of God so that they can have a relationship with God and live forever. Man is the image and glory of God. Creating such a being who is so glorious and reflects what God is like brings honor to the one who created him. Having such a being serve him brings honor and glory to God. Man is the image of God and brings glory to God. However, Adam and Eve joined the rebellion of the fallen angels and were cursed, and the image of God was marred. The image of God although marred, is still there. When a man is saved because God makes him aware that Yeshua is the Messiah and the risen Lord, when that man is born again and receives the Holy Spirit, he also receives a new godly nature. And the image of God, which was marred, is in the process of being restored. A man should not cover his head to acknowledge this, that the image of God is being restored in him because of Messiah, his head, Messiah who perfectly bears the image of God. A man ought not to cover his head since he is the image and glory of God. But woman is the glory of man. A woman is the most amazing creature. She too is made in the image of God. She too bears the image of God. She too has the ability to think, reason, speak, choose, will, design, order the world, rule the other creatures, be creative, reproduce others made in the image of God so they can have a relationship with the Creator. Plus, the woman is much more beautiful than the man and generally more loving and supportive and nurturing and caring. Women are amazing. People receive honor by having good things. People with lots of money and a beautiful lifestyle receive a certain kind of glory, honor from their money and their lifestyle. A woman is worth far more than rubies and the beautiful things that money can buy. He who finds a wife finds a good thing. So when the Lord gives one of these glorious creatures to a man, like Eve was given to Adam, that man receives glory because of her. He becomes more glorious. He's being honored. He's being enhanced by who she is and her relationship to him. A man brings glory to God and acknowledges his relationship to God by not covering his head. A woman brings glory to a man and acknowledges that relationship by covering her head. The rabbi reinforces his teaching about the supremacy of the man with another truth from the Word of God about the creation of man and woman. For man did not come from woman, but woman from man. Neither was man created for woman, but woman for man. Moses teaches us that Adam was created first. Then Eve was created from one of Adam's ribs. She was created from Adam and was created for Adam to be a helper that was a fit companion for him, perfectly suited for him. Since man did not come from woman, but woman came from man, and since man was not created for woman, but woman was created for man, it's clear that the man is superior in this relationship. The woman needs to acknowledge that and submit to the man's headship and cover her head in a public meeting as a public acknowledgement of this God-designed order. The rabbi gives another reason why a woman is to have a symbol of her submission to her God-ordained authority on her head, and that is because of the angels. It is for this reason that a woman ought to have authority over her head, I think, a symbol of authority over her head, a head covering, because of the angels. Angels are real. Before the creation of the universe, a great rebellion took place among the angels. A third of them rebelled against God and followed Satan, who became the head of the fallen angels. Two-thirds of the angels did not fall. They remained loyal to God. They are the good angels. The angels are aware that Adam and Eve joined the rebellion of the fallen angels. They are aware that the descendants of Adam and Eve are still part of the rebellion of the fallen angels. They are aware that the people who become loyal to Messiah end their part in the rebellion. They are aware of the rightness of the God-ordained order, the rightness of the Son of God submitting to God the Father, the rightness of the man submitting to the Messiah, the rightness of the woman submitting to the man. So, in order not to offend the angels who are aware of Messiah's community and what we are doing and how we are conducting ourselves, a woman is to have a symbol of her submission to her male authority on her head. Because of the angels. The rabbi then states this truth. The woman is subordinate to the man in position, but she is not inferior to the man in nature. Again, the rabbi reinforces his teaching by again referring to the Word of God and again by specifically referring to the Torah. Nevertheless, in the Lord, woman is not independent of man, nor is man independent of woman. For as woman came from man, so also man is born of woman. Humanity started with Eve being taken from Adam. The woman was taken from the man. However, after Eve came from Adam, the process reversed, and the woman is the one who gives birth to man. Without man, there would be no woman. Without a woman, there would be no man. This mutual dependence, this interdependency, means that they are of equal nature, equal value, equal worth. Woman came from man, and man is born of woman, and therefore they are equals. However, the creator-creature relationship is different. It is not one of mutual dependence. It is not one of equality. The rabbi adds, but everything comes from God. And since everything comes from God, since God created everything, including man, including woman, he is our superior. And if the Creator, who is supreme in power and position and authority, wants a man to uncover his head and a woman to cover her head, men and women should submit to him and his will. Wouldn't you agree? The Creator is very wise. Creation constantly is revealing his wisdom. There are so many lessons to be learned from creation, from nature. The rabbi adds to his argument about the need for a man to not cover his head and the need for a woman to cover her head with a lesson from nature. Judge for yourselves. Is it proper for a woman to pray to God with her head uncovered? Does not the very nature of things teach you that if a man has long hair, it is a disgrace to him, but that if a woman has long hair, it is her glory? for long hair is given to her as a covering. The natural order supports the spiritual order. In the natural order, in nature, the long hair of a woman is a kind of physical covering on her head and adds to her beauty. It's the opposite with a man. He looks better with shorter hair. Long hair is a disgrace to him. He starts looking like a woman. The same principle applies to the spiritual order. A covering on a woman's head is right and adds to her glory. A man is not to have a covering on his head, like comparable to shorter hair. A covering on his head would be wrong. It would be a disgrace to him. A lesson from nature. The rabbi ends his teaching on the roles of men and women and coverings by telling the Corinthians that this practice is not based on the opinion of one man, Paul. What he has just taught them is what is practiced, of course, by Paul, but also his co-workers and all the other communities that belong to God. If anyone wants to be contentious about this, we have no other practice, nor do the churches of God. Since this was the practice of everyone, the Corinthians should do what everyone else was doing. Why should they be different? Okay, I have interpreted this as it would have been interpreted and understood by Messiah's followers in Corinth 2,000 years ago who would have received this letter. Now I want to apply it to us, and that's a little bit more difficult and more controversial, and there are many different opinions. I will give you mine. Our culture is not the same as the Corinthian culture of 2,000 years ago. Our culture is different from the culture of Corinth in many ways. Many attitudes and practices have changed substantially in 2,000 years. For example, 2,000 years ago, the clothing of the men looked a lot like dresses that women wear today. Today, it is unacceptable, at least to me, for a man to wear a dress. 2,000 years ago, no one wore pants. Today, it is acceptable for men and women to wear pants. 2,000 years ago, attitudes towards the length of hair for men and women were much more rigid, much more fixed. Today, there is much more flexibility regarding the length of hair for men and for women. Then there's the issue of facial hair. Attitudes about facial hair, beards, no beards, long beards, short beards, mustaches have changed over the centuries. 2,000 years ago, attitudes about head coverings were part of the culture and very important. Today, those issues of head coverings are no longer important in our culture. Because of these changes in attitudes in the culture, I do not believe it is right to insist that a woman in our culture cover her head while praying or prophesying. I don't believe that it is right to insist that a man does not cover his, doesn't cover his head while praying or prophesying. If a woman wants to wear a head covering, when we meet for worship, wants to honor the Word of God, wants to be like the original recipients of Paul's letter, wants to be like a first century community, that is great. I honor that. I respect that. God bless you. If a woman does not want to wear a head covering because she feels that it's just foreign and very different and not part of the culture, I respect that as well. If a man wants to wear a kippah, cover his head, like many Jewish men do in synagogues, I'm good with that too. If he doesn't, I'm good with that too. Now, while the attitudes of our culture about these practices have changed over the centuries, the God-ordained authority structure has not changed. And to me, that's the main issue here. God the Father is greater in authority than God the Son. And God the Son submits to the superior authority of God the Father. God the Son is greater in authority than the man, and the man must submit to the superior authority of the Messiah. The man is superior in authority to the woman, and the woman must submit to the superior authority of the man. That is the principle that we must keep focused on in this teaching. Not the external ways that it is acknowledged in changing cultures. Here at Shema, we have always tried to honor God's order, God's design, and we are still committed to honor it. Women are equals to men in nature, in value, in worth. There is so much they can do to serve God, but what they do must be submitted to the leadership of Messiah's community, and leadership in Messiah's community is reserved for male leadership. That principle has never changed. This is right. This is God's will. This honors God. Let's pray. Lord, this is a very controversial part of your word. A lot of different opinions, how it's to be interpreted and applied. I pray that this would not cause any controversy or upset or division here in the Shema community. I pray that peace and grace and goodwill and love and tolerance would prevail. Lord, help us all, men and women, honor you and your will with our male and our female identities that you have given us. Amen. Please stand. We're going to continue with our tefillot, our prayers, using the Avinu Malkeinu prayer, our Father and our King.